And it does help if you smile. I mean, if I had a big mirror up here sharing back, smiles are so much better. Thank you. When we, the elders, first talked about coming up here and sharing and talking about our vision and grow, we said that we would take about 15 minutes to 20 minutes. So when you average out the time that's spent, I have about 5 minutes left. So if you're one of these people that watch a ball game and don't pay any attention until later in the fourth quarter, you'll have missed it. So you gotta start listening the first quarter of the game, because it'll be over with by then. I kind of took my lesson from a professor that had a grad student that did a thesis. He brought it in. It was 200 pages, and he laid it on the desk to the professor, and the professor said, it's too long. Take it back. He took it back, took out some stuff. He said, really didn't need that to make a point, brought it back, 75 pages, and said on there, professor said, come back in 3 days. Came back in 3 days, professor gave it back to him, says, still, too long. So he took it, and he really worked on it, had to cut it down, and took out things that, you know, that were nice to be in there. So he got it down to 20 pages. He took it back into the professor and set it in front of him. The professor says, okay, now I'll read it. If I have to explain it, it's not much of a joke, is it? He hadn't read it before because there's a lot of things in there that just didn't make sense. And so what I've tried to do over the last few days is try to cut down and focus on what I really want to try to say today. And over the past 5 weeks, all the elders have been talking about and sharing their heart on our vision of GROW. And GROW being God, relationships, and work. And I believe we all can agree that GROW is a process of change. While I've been wrestling with the idea of change, something kind of came to my attention, maybe not incidentally, but it said all growth requires change, but not all change is growth. I believe change has taken on so many meanings, and in some ways, become a nasty word. So my goal this morning is to kind of try to clean up the word change and make it a goal for each of us. Because how else will we be able to grow? In our family life, social life, and workplace, change has become an accepted way of life. We've experienced constant change in our life, and usually this change is good. Family life has changed from the day we were born, through our sheltered years living at home, starting our family, leaving and starting a family of our own, having children, and then those children going out into the world, and then grandchildren, which I find is one of the best times, to the mature years, which I'm learning about that change as well. So we have seen our social life changed by transportation, technologies, tragedies, world influences, and on and on and on. So our life is constantly in a flux of change. The workplaces in which we started our careers have changed so much, the younger generation probably snickered the way we used to do things 20, 30, 40 years ago. So change is nothing new to any of us. Even for the youngest person, whether they're aware of it or not, there is change. Just tell a child under the age of 18 that there's a new iPod that's out on the market, and they will quickly say, I need an upgrade. Just a new word for change. It affects us all. We're all a part of it. However, one of the fewest places change has not been readily acceptable is in worship to God. Now that I'm not going to focus on the 1 hour Sunday morning worship, but on 24 hours, 7 days a week type worship. Changing our 24/7 worship may not be so dramatic and difficult if our outside world that we worked with people that were just like us and with Christians and not associated with so many other type of influences. Also, I think the impact on our one-hour Sunday morning worship, if you think that the impact on our one-hour Sunday morning worship has the greatest impact on our life, then our picture of worship is very limited and insufficient to deal with the trials of 24/7 life we all face. How many times just this week have we been faced with serious trials outside of Sunday morning worship? We've had to face death of friends, family, sickness, cancer, aging parents, job losses, as well as new responsibilities of new babies and grandchildren, still advising and nurturing our children as they are now making adult choices and dealing with difficult problems. This is where most of life happens. And this is where we need to have a worship service with God. How do we face 24/7 trials in life? There are many books and parables and pictures and scriptures in the Bible I could use, but I'd like to focus on the book of Job. Usually we think of the book of Job as a book of patience. I think really the book of Job is about suffering and faith. Job, at least to me, exemplifies the struggles and questions we all face in our daily life. The glory of Job is how his faith carried him through all his struggles and unanswered questions, and all the unanswered questions that he had, in which he wanted God to answer. Why me, Lord? I was the faithful servant whom you bragged to Satan. So God allowed Satan to remove the hedges that God had put around Job, which Satan said insisted was the reason why that Job was so faithful to God. So Satan took from Job his wealth, his servants, his family, except his wife, and caused very painful sores all over his body. If that wasn't enough, Satan sent his friends to try to persuade Job to admit that he had sinned against God and he should repent of those sins that he had made against God. I'd say that all of us, at one time or another, have experienced some of the same painful experiences and have asked God the same question, why me, Lord? I think the experiences I face are the big picture. If I can only understand my worldly experiences, then maybe I can understand God. What a small box I've made for God to live in. Through all the suffering and losses Job experienced, his faith in God never wavered. Even though his faith never wavered, Job still wanted an audience with God to answer the question, why me? Why have I suffered in all of these ways? Is that better? In all of these ways, even though I have always kept my faith in you and honored you. Job wanted a conversation with God, and God spoke to Job. And I guess it was after all the suffering that Job went through that God felt like Job was ready to listen. So he came to Job and was going to answer his question. If you want to read all the experience, all the conversation that Job and God had, which is very interesting reading, you can turn to Job 38:1 through Job 39 and listen to what changed Job. I just want to read Job 38:1 through 19, which gives us a part of the essence of the glory of God that reflects the little picture Job had of his suffering and questions he had for God. You'll be able to see that God allowed Job to answer his own question. Why me, Lord? With a few questions I've got, with a few of God's own questions to Job. Each of us might try, each of us, as I read down through this, might try to answer these same questions that was given to Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel of my words?" Tommy's being nice because I didn't turn this on while we were singing. Would it be better if I just took this off? Okay, I got the high sign back in the back. Do I need to go back over what I said? Okay. Is there some reason you waited this long, Tommy? Anyhow, this is what God asked Job, and this is what Job heard that completely changed Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if you hath understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? But I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars at the doors, and said, Hitherto thou shalt come, but no further. And thou shalt thy where shall thy proud ways be stayed? Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the stretch of the depth? Search of the death? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declared if thou knowest it all? Where is the way light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof?" He goes on for another chapter and a half, and bringing to light to Job how little he knows. And as we try to answer these questions, we probably realize how little we know. And after listening to these questions, Job changed. And this is what he said. Well, this is what was happening to Job. He was getting the bigger picture, the picture we so often miss in our 24/7 busy life. The picture of God that transcends our meager ability to understand his breadth and depth. Job didn't get his question answered like he thought. They were answered beyond his small perception of God. So in Job 42, 1 through 5, we finally see the new understanding that Job realized in this question, meeting with God. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel but without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. The change Job received was that he went from hearing to seeing. That is the change that we must make, from hearing to seeing. That one verse just rings for me so many times, that when Job's mind changed and he was able to see and to say that in God's overall wisdom, it was too wonderful for him to understand. But God went on to bless Job twofold of what he had before, and was allowed to live another 140 years. Now, last week in our lesson, 40 Days of Love, we studied that to overcome any obstacle that keeps us from loving rather than feeling despair, we must look at the bigger picture. The things we experience in this life are a part of the smaller picture. In order to live a life of peace and a life without fear, we must allow the love that God has given us to drive our hearts and our minds. God has promised that nothing or nobody can stand between us and him, except those things in which we build and put between us and him. We must be like Job and realize we are nothing without God and the special gifts that he's given us. Whatever challenges in life will be nothing in eternity. Whatever challenges us in life is nothing in comparison to the majestic glory of God. We must keep our eye on the prize that God created us to be a part of his life. You know, that's the way I feel. That's me sharing my heart to the congregation. We must focus on changing our heart and life to see the biggest picture God has for us, a worship service that is 24/7. I could have put in a lot more examples and thoughts, but I felt like if I could only make one point this morning about our vision of grow, God, relationship, obedience, and work, that we must make this a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week vision for all of us. Then I think that's where we can start. If you're here this morning, or Tommy, lead us in a song, and if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you'd like to be a part of God's inheritance, please come forward and we'll assist you this morning.